Well, tonight we're in Matthew chapter 7, and as we're in Matthew chapter 7, I want to continue in my sermon series about no drama allowed. And if the Israelites were the classic examples in the Old Testament of a group of people complaining, I think we have to say their counterpart, their New Testament counterpart, have to be the Pharisees when it comes to the subject of being judgmental. Now, if you go back to the definition of drama that I gave to you at the outset of this study, I said to you that drama is a way of relating to the world in which a person consistently overreacts or they over-exaggerate the importance of really some unimportant events. And we all understand what that drama looks like. We see it in our homes. We see it at work. We see it in our families. We see it even in society and even on social media. But if you're taking those two words of overreacting and over-exaggerating, then I think you start seeing there's an element of people being judgmental as it comes into that. Now, someone that's judgmental, the word judgmental even in and of itself conjures up the idea of a negative word, and certainly it is. It describes someone who often rushes to judgment without reason. If you look at the word judgmental in an adjective form, it's the idea of someone who forms opinion, lots of opinions. Usually they're very harsh opinions. Usually they're very critical opinions about lots of people, again, with not necessarily all the facts that have been presented. When I think about this, I think about Chuck Swindoll, pastor and preacher, speaker, author. He tells the story of going to preach one time in California, and he was preaching a week-long meeting, and there was a gentleman that came up to him on Sunday and said, "Listen, I'm so excited to hear you preach, and I cannot wait to just soak everything in this week." And Dr. Swindoll says that, you know, he thanked the gentleman. He said he was looking forward to the week as well that he'd prepared for, and they kind of went on their way. Well, he said, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, he said, this gentleman sits on the front row. And he said, when I get up to speak every single night, this gentleman nods off and it really just goes to sleep. And he said, night after night, he said, I'll be honest with you, as a speaker who had prepared and poured myself into every message that I was going to speak, he said, I was a little aggravated because here's this man who comes to me on Sunday and says, look, I'm so excited about hearing you speak and I can't wait just to soak it all in. And then he comes and sits on the front row and he just falls asleep every single service. Well, on Friday, this lady comes up to him and says, Dr. Swindoll said, listen, I just want to tell you how much that I've enjoyed this week of ministering to me, and you've done just a tremendous job, and I'm very appreciative. And she said, by the way, she said, I need to apologize for my husband who's sitting on the front row. You see, he only has just a few short weeks to live, and the doctors told him that they could give him some pain medicine to help him in these last few weeks, but the side effect of the pain medicine is he falls asleep very quickly. And one of the things that he wanted to do in these last few weeks of his life is he wanted to come and hear you speak live, and he wanted to be able to sit on the front row and try to take it all in. And to be honest, Dr. Swindoll, that is his heart's desire, and him just being here this week has just made this part of his life so refreshing. And he said, I apologize greatly because I know that he falls asleep, but he just can't help it. Dr. Swindoll says, when I heard those words, he said, I felt like crawling under every single pew that was in that church because I made a judgment call without knowing all of the facts and knowing exactly what was taking place. If we were to be honest, how many of us have found ourselves in that same similar situation? And we've made judgment calls. We've been sitting in restaurants and we look over at the couple that's at the next table and we wonder, I wonder if they're married. Well, it looks like they're dating and looks like they're married individuals, but they're dating. And then they have children or something. Another family has children. And we're like, I can't believe those parents don't take care of their children. We make statements like that. Sometimes you're in class, whether it be in high school or whether it be in college. And, you know, there are other people in class and you're just watching and you're watching how they act and the things that they say. And you're making some judgmental decisions and some judgment calls against them. I mean, listen, just the word Walmart conjures up all kinds of just judgmental thoughts as we walk in and we walk out. Whether at the mall, we're at work, hey, even at church, sometimes we make some judgmental calls about people. Somebody new walks into the church. Somebody walks past you and doesn't speak to you, and you think, well, what's wrong with them? and you have no idea what's on their mind. You have no idea what happened. Or you just may not know they did not see you even though you saw them. We make some judgmental calls. There's some signs of being judgmental or even having a judgmental spirit. And this is not an exhaustive list, and this is not an authoritative list, but these are some characteristics of those who are often judgmental. You believe that everyone is out to get you. You expect other people to be consistent all of the time. You struggle to see beyond a person's flaws. You easily skip to conclusions. You're intolerant of people unlike you. You're generally pessimistic about life. You struggle to truly appreciate or see the beauty in someone else. You have a low self-worth, but you're always suspicious and you're always untrusting. Now, if you have any of those characteristics, if you have several of those characteristics, then you have to be careful, because as psychologists and doctors and researchers have said, you know, these are some very unique signs of a person who is judgmental or has a judgmental spirit. But here's the reason that I grouped this morning's message and tonight's message together. It's because I often see those that are complaining and those that are being judgmental, I often see them together. It's almost like complaining and being judgmental somewhat go hand in hand. And I realize that they can be two very exclusive items, but usually people who are complaining have a little bit of a judgmental attitude. And those that have a little bit of a judgmental attitude seem to also complain quite a bit about some things. And so if there's drama surrounding any of those claims, then there will be drama enveloping those who are being judgmental about others, those that are complaining, those that are being judgmental. There's drama that's going to ensue. Well, when we come to Matthew chapter 7, there in the Gospels, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were guilty of exercising a false judgment about themselves, about other people, and ultimately about the Lord. And it was their false righteousness. If you know anything about the scribes and the Pharisees, they had an elevated sense of their own self, or their own righteousness. And this false righteousness really helped encourage them to have a false judgment against other people. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. And so I think this is why the Lord takes a few moments here. The Sermon on the Mount, he takes a few moments and he addresses this subject matter of being judgmental. And so again, tonight we're talking about no drama allowed. Stop being judgmental. And so there's two thoughts that we read here. Matthew's Gospel chapter 7. We start reading in verse 1 and verse 2. And the first thought that I want you to see tonight, and I need you to listen, and I need you to understand this, is that God is the ultimate judge. Okay? Let me say that one more time, because we all need to hear this. God is the ultimate judge. Matthew chapter 7, begin reading with me in verse number 1. Jesus says, "Judge not, that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now Jesus was reminding the scribes and the Pharisees that they were not the final judge and jury. They were not the final court. And so to judge another person's motives or to pass condemnation on someone else, what Jesus is saying is that you are playing God. And you're not God, and that's not right for you to do. The Pharisees, they constantly condemned other people, but they never considered that God was going to judge them one day. It is as if they were the religious judge and jury of all matters, and they acted as if that they did not recognize that God would ultimately was going to judge them. Now, even today, a lot of people feel like that they're free to judge others, and they do that because they have an erroneous viewpoint. They have an erroneous viewpoint that somehow they are superior to other people. Their thoughts are superior. Their ways are superior. Their family is superior. Where they live is superior. Just their education is superior. Their position in work or their position in the community is superior. And they judge other people simply because they feel like that they're superior to others. Now, the Pharisees fell into that category, and they felt like that they were exempt from judgment because they believed that they perfectly measured up to divine standards. They thought that they measured up completely to the divine standards that were there. They thought that they lived out the religious code every single day, and those that did not match up exactly like the religious code of that day, then they were beneath them and they could cast judgment upon them. The problem with that was that their standards were human standards. And like others like them, they'd established these standards, and they were far too short of God's holy and perfect law. These were standards that they came up with. These were standards that they had set. This wasn't exactly what God had put into place. And so Jesus says here in this passage, he says that God will judge us with the same type of judgment in which we judge others. And that's a big statement there. He will judge us in the same kind of judgment that we judge others. And so when we assume the role of final and omniscient judge here, we imply that we're qualified to be the judge. Now, can I just say this to you? We may be smart and we may be talented, but we're not the final judge. We don't know every single thing. We don't know everything that's going on. We don't know exactly what's behind the scenes. We don't know the motives. We don't know the inner man. We are not the final judge. But when we assume that kind of role, that we know all the facts, we understand everything that's going on, and all the circumstances here, all the motives that are involved, then we have to be very, very careful, because then it's as if we're acting like the Pharisees, we're acting like we're superior to others, and we are the final judge. So when we assert our right to judge, we will be judged by the standard of knowledge and wisdom that we claim is ours. Now, I want you to think about for just a moment the last time that you passed judgment on somebody. Just think about it. You're sitting at the traffic light, you're in a restaurant, you're at work, you're sitting here at church, you're watching somebody else walk in. I want you to think about the last time that you passed judgment on somebody. And I want you to think about the thoughts that you had. I want you to think in your mind, the things that you said, what you said, I can't believe, well, I would never, you know, all of those statements that we make. And that I want you to somehow remove yourself, and I want you to just kind of, as if you're standing on the stage here tonight, and I want everybody to fire at you just like you fired at whoever that person was. I want you to take everything that you said about that person. I want you to absorb every thought that you had about them, whether how negative it was, how critical it was, how demeaning that it might be. I want you to take all of that on yourself. That's in essence what Jesus is saying here. He says, you don't have a right to judge because you're not the judge. He says, but when you judge, he said, you need to be very careful, because how you judge others is how you're going to be judged as well. So if we set ourselves up to judge other people, we cannot plead ignorance of the law in reference to ourselves when God judges us. So in other words, the kind of judgment and the measure of judgment comes right back to us. And the principle that's taught to us in Galatians chapter 9 says what? That we're going to reap what we've sown. And it happens to us. We don't often think about judgment that way, do we? We think about sowing to the spirit or sowing to the flesh. And obviously, judging is the idea of sowing to the flesh. We don't often think about sowing and reaping when it comes to being judgmental. We don't think about, hey, I'm going to throw this out and I can't believe this and I'm thinking about this person in this way. That's going to come back on us and come back against us. Why is that? Because Jesus says, listen, we need to set the record clear. We need to put everything else to the side. You need to hear me loud and clear. You need to know this one simple truth and this one simple principle, that God is the ultimate judge. It's not you. It's not you at all. And you need to be very careful, because when you judge, that's the same measure of which you're going to be judged as well. The second thought that he gives us is in verse 3, 4, and 5. And he says this. He says, we must self-judge ourselves. We must self-judge ourselves. Notice with me now verse 3. He says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I think the first principle when it comes to judgment is that we have to always begin with ourselves. We have to always begin with ourselves. Because listen, if you look in the mirror long enough and you judge all things about yourself, and I'm not talking about that you belittle yourself every day. I'm not saying that you demean yourself every day and you put yourself down every day. But I'm saying that you honestly look at yourself and you honestly own up to your sins and you honestly own up to your faults and to your failures. Listen, if you do that on a consistent basis, you have no time to be able to do that with anybody else because you've got a full slate of activity just taking care of yourself. And so the first principle that really Jesus is saying, he's saying here, when you recognize that God is the ultimate judge, then the next thing that you do, and the only thing that you can do, is to self-judge yourself. Now this picture, in a sense, with this man, of a log, a 2x4 in a sense, in his eye, trying to remove a speck of dust from another man's eye, seems to be a little ridiculous. Well, it's kind of the phrasing that we would say that Jesus is over-exaggerating a point to make a point. You know, I mean, it'd be pretty impressive to see a log or a 2x4 in someone's eye. Well, actually, it'd be kind of gross. But he's saying you're critical of somebody else that's got just a speck of dust in their eye, and you're walking around with this huge log in your eye. You know, it's like, hey, have you not looked in the mirror, sir? Sometimes when we're being judgmental, we lose sight of ourselves. We lose sight of our own faults and failures. We lose sight of what we're doing and how we're living and how we're not measuring up. But man, we're so good at telling everybody else what they do wrong and telling everybody else how they should be living. And so if we do not honestly face up to our own sin, if we do not honestly confess that sin, then we blind ourselves to ourselves. It's as if we can't see our own self. And so if we can't see ourselves, then we also can't see others clearly as well. And so the Pharisees, they saw the sins of the other people, but for some reason they could never seem to look upon their own sins. And Jesus calls them out over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And yet somehow they were not able to see it. Dr. Tony Evans tells the story. Back in Texas, he said, when my kids were small, he said, we used to take them to the Fort Worth stock show in Texas. And he said, this was the place, you know, once a year that there was all kinds of livestock that was on display there in the stockyards. And he said, I took my kids there to be able to see that. And, you know, it was a fun time for them to look at the animals. And so he said, I decided to take my kids there when they were young. But Dr. Evans says, he said, one thing about being in the stockyard, he said, it smells. He said, to be honest, it kind of stinks from time to time. And he said, as he's writing this, he said, it stinks really bad. He said, you know, there's all these animals and they could only be kept so clean. There were so many of them there. And it wasn't long after just being there for a short time. He said, I was ready to go. He said, I'd had all the smell that I could smell. And he said, my kids begged me to stay a little bit longer. And he said, I said, okay. And we stayed a little bit longer. But after a while, he said, we just had to get out of there. He said, I couldn't stand the smell. So he said, I gathered everybody up and I put them in the car and we headed to the house back to Dallas. And he said, I could still smell that smell. He said, it was still stinking. He said, we made sure all of the windows were rolled up into the car. And for some reason, he said, we just could not escape the smell that we'd smelled with all of those animals. He said, it was stinky back there in the stockyards. He said, in my car, it was stinky as well. He said, we got home, we went inside, and we were there for a few minutes. And he said, that smell that was at the Fort Worth stock show, he said, it was still in my house. He said, I could still smell it. And he's thinking, how in the world could we be smelling the stink in Dallas that we smelled and the problem there in Fort Worth? He said, I looked down and he said, somehow I had gotten the problem on the bottom of my shoe. And I had carried it with me in the car. I'd carried it with me into my house. And so he said, the problem was me. He said, I was the stinky one. And he said, I was the one that was smelling everything up. It wasn't everybody else. It wasn't the Fort Worth stock show. It wasn't the kids. It wasn't the car. He said, it was me. It's easy to analyze everybody else when it may be us, the one that's smelling. And sometimes it's hard to recognize when we smell. Now, I need to move on because you can just take that and run with it, right? But it's hard sometimes. We may be the one that's the problem. But we're always blaming someone else. We're always looking for an scapegoat. It's never us. But as Jesus writes here in this passage, in addition to these thoughts, he says, when we do not judge ourselves, he says, we not only hurt ourselves, he says, but we hurt others that we could minister to. So when we're judging others, we're not judging ourselves. Obviously, we're hurting ourselves, but we're hurting others that we can minister to. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe makes this statement. He says, the Pharisees judged and criticized others to make themselves look good. He says, but Christians should judge themselves so that they can help others look good. Again, you look at the passage here, and Jesus is talking about, he says, you're criticizing those with a speck of dust in their eye, and you've got this log in your eye. He says, first take the log out of your eye so that you can help take the speck of dust out of the other person's eye as well. Again, it's the idea of helping, not hurting. It's the idea of encouraging, not criticizing. And that's the principle that we often don't find here. Dr. John Phillips goes on to write, and he says, no one can hope to help another person while entertaining a critical spirit toward them. The power for removing and offering an offending splinter lies not in the ability to detect, expose, and condemn, but in a Christ-like love that fills the heart with a desire to be helpful and kind. Again, as I said to you this morning, when you're complaining, your eyes are not focused upon the Lord. Your eyes are focused upon yourself. And so tonight, when you're being critical of others, when you're being judgmental with others, then you're not looking at them. You're looking at you in the sense of being elevated above them, but you're not looking to help them. You're looking to bring them down. The scripture talks about over and over and over, as Christians, what are we to be doing? We're to be building one another up. We're to be edifying one another. We're to be encouraging one another. But when we're being critical, when we're being judgmental, all we're doing is bringing other people down. And so Jesus said here, he said, listen, you need to be very clear. God is the ultimate judge. And you're going to be judged in the measure in which you judge other people. But you've got to start with self. You've got to self-evaluate. You've got to self-judge yourself at all times. And he says, when you do that, not only will you be right, but then you'll be able to help other people as well and not harm them. Now, there's no doubt if there was a group of people who were good at judging others, man, it was the Pharisees. I mean, they just were. Obviously, we're looking at one particular passage here, but multiple passages, Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 7, they judged Jesus as being a glutton and a drunkard because he mingled with the tax collectors. He mingled with the sinners there in order to teach them the gospel. How dare Jesus want to teach people the gospel, right? You know, the Pharisees, well, these are sinners, these are tax collectors, these are beneath us, these are awful people. You should never have anything to do with them, even if you're teaching them the gospel. I thought the gospel was for everybody. So did Jesus. They judged Jesus, the blind man in John chapter 9. They judged them as sinners because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. They judged the blind man because he was born blind. Jesus was healing a man there on the Sabbath. They said, no, 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 you can't do anything like that on the Sabbath. That's against the rules. Well, who made the rules? Well, it's as if they made the rules. Last time I checked, it was God who made the rules. They missed that. Now, before you just kind of slide along, go, man, stinking Israelites, those Pharisees, what are they doing? What are you doing? Are you a complainer? Are you a judgmental person? Before you cast judgment on somebody else, you need to take a look in the mirror. I need to take a look in the mirror to say, hey, am I doing that? Is that in me? I see that obviously in the Pharisees. Jesus saw that in the Pharisees. Jesus preaches in a sense there to them and preaches to us. But is it me? Is it me? A pastor by the name of Clay Gentry a few years back preached a message entitled "The Pharisee in Me." And just a little excerpt from that message, I'll read to you, but it speaks to my heart. He says, as I continue to grow and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and learn more of God's grace, I have become more conscious of a struggle that rages within me. It's a struggle between the man I so desperately want to be and the man that I have a tendency to be. I struggle because I know that on the inside, there lurks a darker spirit that, from time to time, rears its ugly head, and when it does, I am more akin to the Pharisees of Jesus' day than I care to admit. He goes on in that sermon and he says, the Pharisee in me is judgmental and doesn't want to admit that other people's actions can be pure, even when they're doing something that I personally wouldn't do. The Pharisee in me says, he has to be up to no good. I know it. I would never do anything like that. We need to tell some others and then go out and confront him about this. He goes on to say, the Pharisee in me is judgmental and doesn't want to acknowledge that a weaker brother could be just as spiritual as I am, even when he believes things I wouldn't believe. The Pharisee in me says, go set him straight and tell him he needs to believe what I believe. The Pharisee in me is judgmental and doesn't want to reach out to people who don't fit the profile of what I think a Christian should look like. The Pharisee in me says, don't bother talking to that person. Look at them. They don't know, or they don't look like they care about religious things. It kind of finishes up that particular thought, and he says this. He says, woe to me. If I allow the judgmental Pharisee in me to have his way, then I would be nothing more than a blind fool whose heart is blinded with self-righteousness. You know, over and over and over, Jesus, when he talks to the Pharisees, I mean, he's harsh with them. He calls them hypocrites over and over and over again. But one of the other statements that Jesus makes about the Pharisees is he says, woe unto you. Woe unto you. It is the idea that, hey, listen, Pharisees, wake up from what you're doing. It is almost a judgmental in a righteous sense that only God can say, woe unto you, Pharisees. Stop what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. Can you not see the wrong that you're doing? Listen to me. Woe unto me. I wonder tonight if the Holy Spirit of God is saying, woe unto you. It's become so commonplace in your life that you just pass judgment here and you pass judgment here and you talk about this person here and you talk about that group over here. It's as if it's so common to you now you don't even know that you do it. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you, whoa, sir, ma'am, teenager, whoa, whoa, woe unto you. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Listen to what you're saying. Think about what's going on. Listen to what I'm saying. Judge not, lest you yourself be judged. Where does that come from? It comes from self-righteousness. We could say this morning that the Pharisees were self-centered. Well, if they were self-centered, I'm sorry, the Israelites this morning would be self-centered, but the Pharisees tonight would be self-righteous. And one of the things that we do when we hear messages like this as Christians, we go, I hope so-and-so is listening because they need that. Rather than saying, whoa, God, do I need that? God, search my heart. Lord, search my mind. Lord, search my mouth, the things that I've said this week. Search my motives. Some of you know right now there's some things you've said this week you need to repent of. Some of you, this may be your besetting sin. This may be what you struggle with the most. Maybe God tonight has pinpointed some things. Maybe you've looked around and over the last several weeks you've just kind of taken in the drama of your life. And maybe there's been a message here and a message there that really hasn't just pinpointed that drama. But maybe today, and you're saying, the drama that's happening in my life has everything to do with complaining and it has everything with judgmental spirits, and it's me. It's hard to be honest about ourselves, but it's always right to be honest about ourselves. God is the ultimate judge, and if we're ever going to clear this up, we've got to self-judge ourselves and stop judging others.